And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin. I'm the host. I'm coming to you from the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza with our recording studio in the Clock Tower building. Sponsored by Coins Plus, your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We're always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals, numismatic coins, estates, accumulations, hoards, old gold, jewelry, diamonds, anything in that line we're very interested in. We're always buying and selling those forms of items, been doing it over a couple decades. Really never stop. People call and they say, are you buying gold today? Are you selling gold today? There's never been a day we have not. We've done a substantial amount of business. We believe we've helped a lot of people out over the years. We feel good about that. We've helped people build some pretty neat, impressive portfolios and do very well. As I've mentioned repeatedly, the items that are biblically attributed as true wealth in the Bible by God are gold and silver, aka your precious metals based asset sector, livestock, which is food, you know, power, whatever. We use animals for everything, and obviously we eat them. You've got precious metals, gold and silver, livestock, real estate is a no-brainer. Real estate's a hard asset that they're not making more of it. I met with a friend of mine yesterday who's kind of a big shot in the whole real estate world. On a big basis, and we were talking about the 08 dump and just some of the stuff he secured at that time, you know, and how well it's done. And he was, when the 08 crash hit, and all the commercial real estate was dead, and he was, you know, acquiring quite a bit of it, and he was talking about how all these commercial realtors were laughing at him and mocking him and making fun of him and telling him he was a fool. And, you know, and now, of course, he's quadrupled his money in a decade. Plus, he's making income. And we also had a conversation. The same gentleman acquired a substantial amount of precious metals and rare coins from us. And in the same result, precious metals, he's quadrupled his money. On the numismatic coin portfolio, we were kind of laughing yesterday because, I mean, he's got coins in there that have gone up 10 times the value that we sold them to him about a decade ago. And he and I were discussing Warren Buffett a lot. And by the way, I'll give you the phone number. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044 in Spokane. That's our local number. Toll free outside the area, 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. We're always kind of watching the emails there. And if you have serious questions, we'll try to get back to you as soon as we can. We like to talk by phone a lot as well. So anyway, I was talking with this friend of mine, and we were talking a lot about Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett's an interesting guy. He's obviously not a religious man. He's just a simple man. He may be even have a little bit of a mild case of autism. He says he's always been really good at compounding money. He doesn't care much about money. He's worth such a substantial amount of money, it's crazy. The way he lives his life is incredibly simple. But he is one to use common sense. And what he says is, when everyone's buying, I'm selling. When everyone's selling, I'm buying. He says, bulls get rich, pigs get slaughtered. In other words, greed kills. Folks, and I'll tell you, I've been doing this a while. I've been, you know, this is the area of the world of life that God put me in, the money world. I've got a background in everything from insurance, actuarial science to, you know, experience with general liability auditing, sales. I grew up, my dad was an insurance agent, so I'm very familiar with that. I've been in banking, and I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed, and I've managed people who've sold stocks and bonds. I've got a lot of postgraduate education in economics and a lot of research and, of course, you know, self-employment, precious metals, all that stuff. And if, you know, over the years, I guess basically I've seen people do a lot of things. And I'll tell you, bottom line, greed kills. Anybody who is investing with the intention of getting rich is a fool. I mean, you need to preserve and protect your finances. One thing that's really kind of mind-boggling is the fact that our system, the Keynesian economic system, which was designed by John Maynard Keynes, is designed to destroy your wealth. John Maynard Keynes was a socialist. He created his economic system specifically as an engine by which socialism could prevail. He can be quoted as saying, "This economic system is the necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail." I didn't quote that exactly right, but it's close. He also said that, you know, through his economic system, it would create a continuous source of inflation, which allows the government to confiscate an important part of the people's wealth, of the citizens' wealth, secretly and unobserved, without their knowing it. Socialism has to consume. And folks, one thing, you know, if you get into economics, there's a thing called the velocity of money. The velocity of money is how fast money passes through people's hands, through society, how fast it moves. And in Keynesian economics, you have to understand every dollar we create is backed by a dollar of debt. Every single dollar. Now, the problem is there's interest on that debt. So we have to borrow money to pay the interest. It goes on and on and on. The big deception is, you know, you go back and you listen to Obama. You got to pay your fair share. We need higher taxes. You have to understand every single dollar in our economic system goes back to the government eventually. How does that work, you say? Here's the foolish thing about it. Let's take a $100 bill and let's pass it through the economy, okay? You get a $100 bill, which you've just earned, which we can go backwards, it can get crazy, but we'll just start at this point. You take that $100 bill and you spend it. The company that gets it has a certain amount of it that is profit and a certain amount that's cost. So let's just say that, let's change the example. Let's just say you buy something at Walmart and $100 of your purchase is the profit. So that's where we need to go. Because if it's not profit, it doesn't matter. They're just replacing cost and it's not relevant. So they get $100 profit. At corporate level, they're paying 35% tax. That doesn't count state income tax in the states they're in. We'll leave state income tax out of it. That adds to it. That compounds it. That makes it worse. Even sales tax adds a problem. Because what happens is, even if sales tax in Washington's almost 9%, you say, well, the vendor doesn't pay it. Actually, the consumer pays it, but the vendor has to eat a certain percentage. There's mistakes made all the time. An 8.9% sales tax equates to about 0.89% cost to the vendor because of mistakes in bookkeeping and things like that. We won't get into that either. But the bottom line is $100 profit at Walmart, they take, we're going to say, 35% corporate tax. Okay, they got to pay. They pay their employees, their vendors or whoever, whichever way the money goes. If that money goes to the vendor makes a profit. In other words, the supplier of items for Walmart, they make a profit, and 35% of that goes up the ladder. And then again and again and again. No matter which way you go with the money, unless you park it in the bank, and at which point the bank loans it back out at a 9-to-1 ratio, which creates another problem. But the bottom line is, as money circulates from hand to hand, there's tax taken out at every level, every single level. That $100 in profit to Walmart, which pays the employee, and then guess what happens? So Walmart pays their tax, they pay their employee pays their tax, their employee spends the money, whoever gets the money, they pay the tax, and it goes down until there's no money left. It all goes to the government. This is the grand lie of all people don't get. So the truth of it is, if the government gets every penny ultimately anyway, why do they care how high the tax rate is? Why don't they give us a break? Why don't they say, fine, 20% tax rate, we're going to get it all anyway, folks? It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. Well, the truth of the matter is, they don't care about, it doesn't go back to the government the way they present it to us. The government gets taxed based on economic volume, on the velocity of money. The more often money changes hands, the faster the government gets money. We always think, okay, there's a certain amount of money out in the market, and the government has a certain tax rate, and that's the percentage of the money they get. No, it just keeps going. They get it all. If you do the math, they get it all. So why would they want to increase our tax rates? Because they don't want us to have it. It's the redistribution of wealth. You've got to understand, we are at a crux in this nation. We, the progressive, liberal, socialistic agenda is full bore right now. Full bore. We are in the heart of a struggle that has been up and coming for so long. They've finally gotten the hearts and minds of our children in the schools. We have our youth acting like complete morons and idiots. They're ignorant. I'm apologizing, but it's true. Folks, I'll tell you factually. Obviously, I'm a, quote, businessman, and I have a lot of contacts in the business world that's important to me, and they're my best friends usually. And I talk to these gentlemen all the time. I talked to a gentleman last week who has a series. He has about 40 phone companies, whatever, where they sell. You know, I don't want to tell the brand, but, you know, they set up in strip malls and stuff, and they're working for a company like Sprint, we'll say. And he has an X number of employees. He says he has about 200, and I think he said 215 or 225 employees. He said 175 of them are millennials. Millennial is that 20-something generation that is, at best, can be referred to as the me generation. The old school work ethic that I grew up with, you know, taking personal responsibility, having parents hold you accountable. The millennials don't have that. They want everything they want right now. They want to be in control of everything. They want an app for everything, okay? You got to understand this generation. You know, is there an app for that? They put an app on their phone to do everything they want. They want an app that pays their bills. They want an app that makes them rich. They want an app that gives them a degree. They don't get it. They take forever to go to school. They go back home. They stay with their parents. Their friends don't put pressure on them to perform. They don't say, what are you doing? You know, and when I was growing up, you'd be like, oh, I'm an engineer, or I'm a, you know, I'm a mathematician, or I work for the state, or, you know, whatever it may be. You wanted to have a tag. You wanted to show that you were a productive member of society. Not anymore. The attitude now is, what's your social life look like? It's changed. So this friend of mine that I was speaking with, or this gentleman, who owns these companies, out of 225 employees, 175 are millennials. He has a severe shortage of people that are qualified for upward management. He needs to promote. But he said, Kevin, I can't. He said, out of 175 millennials, he said, there's not one that I can promote. And I've got friends that own, that run massive companies, or massive by my standards, you know, 300 to 400 employees. I'm hearing this all the time. I'm hearing the comment, they're necessary. You've got to have a few of them to handle, you know, social media and things like this. But I'm hearing over and over again, they're brutal. They're hard to work with. They're self-centered. All they worry about is themselves. Now, this is going to offend somebody, but this is just what I'm hearing everywhere. You know, how many hours do I work a week? What are my benefits? You know, how much time do I get off? Do I get breaks during the day? You know, can I play on my cell phone while I'm at work? You know, when will I get a raise? I've had employees that are like, well, how soon till I know everything? And my answer is, I've been doing this 20 years and I don't know everything. I learn every day. This business is like stacking up one PhD upon another. Most people don't realize, they think, how hard is it? They think we're buying and selling gold and silver until they see the place, the back room. I've shown people the level of the content level. There's just a lot going on here, a ton. And they just don't get it. I'm hearing this everywhere. So we're losing an entire generation. The workforce is becoming, there's a lot of good job openings. A relative of mine who's an HR specialist for a large, massive engineering firm, global engineering firm with many, many thousands of employees, maybe tens of thousands, was telling me recently, she said that they cannot fill positions now with people between the ages of 20 and 30. That she said that they're having to go to the older generations, and it's brutal. It's tough. She said they can't even interview well. They're incapable of saying, this is why I want to work for you. This is what I can do for you. I will be the best employee you have. Folks, you've got to remember, we've got like Rex Tillerman, our Secretary of State. You know, he started with ExxonMobil straight out of college, you know, wet behind the ears as an engineer. He worked his way all the way to the top. A very good close friend of mine who used to own American West Bank System, which was large. You know, he started at the bottom, literally sweeping sidewalks. He worked his way up. Another good friend of mine who became the CEO of a Fortune 150 company, which just means it was in the top 150 sized corporations in the United States. He too started at the very bottom, literally doing maintenance. No degree, nothing. Just hard work, energy, effort, commitment, respect. These people are becoming extraordinarily difficult to find. And so this socialist agenda is taking over our society. We're seeing it, the media. You know, I remember, you know, growing up, learning in college and whatnot, school, about Marxism, talking about taking over the media and the schools. And I remember thinking, I always saw that as a martial act, an act at gunpoint. But no, they just slowly infiltrate. And now we are there. We've got an assault, I guess, on our president now that is, it's effective. I will give you that Donald Trump's speech is far from proverbial. In other words, the book of Proverbs, far from it, sadly. But at the same time, the assault that's taking place on him, now they're going to do an investigation into the Russia connection. Folks, I know there's nothing there, nothing. Everyone who has anything to do with it, anything who's close enough, says absolutely no way. It's just a farce. Even James Comey, the director of the FBI today, as he testified before Congress, said clearly, now, who knows how they know this, but I have a feeling they just might have had some wiretaps. He said the Russians gave up on Trump in August. They decided he was hopeless in August. Now, why? Who knows? Why the Russians are dabbling so deep in our system? Who knows? Why they're so interested? I mean, it's probably obvious because it affects them. They didn't like Hillary Clinton. It's probably pretty obvious. I think they were more against her. You get like Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, who comes out with all of the hacks that basically buried Clinton and her campaign team. And what happens? Oh, no, it's not about them being unethical or immoral or, you know, full of it. No, they have got to blame shift. Folks, this is politics at its finest. We have hit a level in this nation of ignorance and foolishness at the level of the people that is unprecedented. We are like a dog with a laser light. If you don't know what I mean by that, try it. I have three golden retrievers, and you know, if I shine that laser light, I have to stop fast because those dogs will chase that almost to their death. Why? I don't know. Crazy, but this is how we are with false news, fake news. Fake news is going crazy. The media is raising the ante. They're raising the bar so high. The left wants to impeach President Trump. Folks, ask yourself, it's all politics. Do they care about the well-being of America? No. Do they care about the well-being of the individuals in America? No. This is about them. It's a self-centered, self-promulgating crock-a. You know what? Chuck Schumer comes out. We've got this Neil Gorsuch, who should be confirmed as the next Supreme Court justice. He is appointed, nominated, chosen by Trump to replace Justice Anthony Scalia, or Antonin. Scalia was conservative, okay? Gorsuch is a hardcore constitutionalist. He's probably the kind of person that people that listen to this show would appreciate the most because he's a constitutional purist. He's not a politician. He doesn't care. He doesn't like big government. They say, oh, so Schumer comes out and says, oh, look, as he worked in the appellate court, he only, you know, ruled in the favor of employees at 40% of the time and employers 60% of the time. Folks, that is ridiculous. The appellate court, they don't choose their cases at all. The decision has already been made by the lower court. All they choose is whether or not they feel or believe that that case has merit for an appeal. But Schumer comes out and he perpetrates this false information. Can you imagine if an appellate judge said, well, you know, I have to vote 50-50 for employer versus employee, and right now I'm only at 49% for the employer, so I'm going to have to throw this one to the employer, not looking at the merits of the case at all. This is how bad the twisting and dishonesty has become. And I will tell you, I believe sincerely the left has mastered it because I believe they have no ethical boundary. I really believe that. I believe that it has gotten to the point that their leaders they want to win at all costs, no matter what. They want to take over the government. This is becoming more and more of a coup. And what is going on, folks, is we are being fooled. If you think about it, it's ironic. What form of government do the socialists want us to think America is? The socialists want us to think we are a democracy. Is that ironic? When socialism is a form of government, why would they want us to think we're a democracy? Because democracy is a transitional form of government that never lasts. It always crumbles and it always falls. What happens in a democracy? In a democracy, the people always choose the wrong sides. Why? Because they're persuadable. And what else does socialism do? Oh, remember again, they capture the minds of the youths and they capture the media. And they persuade and they deceive and they manipulate until they get the people to basically demand socialism. This is what's going on. We are standing in the greatest republic in the history of this world. And we are getting to the point where we have a majority of the people demanding a socialist form of government. They're demanding the implementation of socialism. Obama, folks, had such an impact on this country. He so effectively convinced people that success was bad and wrong and shameful and should be punished that he has literally swayed an entire generation. The problem with democracy is the 51% will vote to take from the 49. That's socialism. In a republic, the law protects the individual. The law protects the individual from government overreach, from government overgrowth. And we are literally, folks, literally at a breaking point like never before. I mean this. You know, you think of the stages of the Obama administration. Look at the level of division and separation he sowed in this nation. I remember the third or fourth year of his administration, statistics, polls were showing that the level of racial tension in America had gone all the way back to the levels of 1967 when riots were rampant, when white cops in Alabama were blasting the blacks with fire hoses. This is what Obama wanted. This is what he's done. Again, in a democracy, what's the fault of a democracy? They always begin to make wrong choices. So we have a democratic form of election on top of a republic. We have been, the republic in our mind has been abolished. When do you ever hear anybody speak of the republic? No, we're a democracy, right? And so what happens is we start to vote for people like Obama. Trump did not win the election. Hillary lost it. And you've got to realize that this is the case. I mean, Trump really was not a good candidate, but people were so hungry for change and just common sense that they had to vote for him. Workers wanted him in office. He's done more to bring things the right direction of any president I've ever heard of in this short period of time. The left hates it. The left cannot unite. I remember when George W., he said, "I'm a uniter, I'm not a fighter, I will unite across the aisle." He meant it. And by the time of his second election, he was so fed up with the politics, he gave up. He won the election and said, "I have been given a mandate and I'm going to do what the people have elected me to do." Politics has always existed, I agree. But the level of morality, aka immorality, that has permeated this nation, the level of tolerance that has evolved from the Clinton era, you think back, they talk about Nixon like he was a bad guy. Nixon was involved in basically wiretapping, spying on his enemies, okay? Yeah, that's bad. But, I mean, he stepped down immediately. You get Clinton with all of his stuff. He fights and fights and fights. If you've done research on the Clinton, whatever you want to call it, dynasty, they've had so many, you know, coincidental, convenient deaths around them. You watch an old movie called The Clinton Chronicles. There's no way that stuff was accidental. Had Hillary gotten in office, folks, this place would be on the brink of socialism. They are lividly angry that she didn't get in. Trump's brash, he's tough, he's bold, he's rude, but who could endure that level of attack? What man on the face of this earth could endure that attack? You know, when we looked earlier at the numbers, the president's 44 was Obama. 44 pertains, in biblical numbers, pertains to bringing divine judgment. 45 pertains to restoring goodness and values and morality. Trump means final overriding factor or resource. He's there for a reason. You know, another bizarre side note on dates and times and things like that. I live on the river. out in Post Falls, and right now the river is so high, it's like at record highs, it's insane. So a good friend of mine who runs the Hagedorn organization, which owns, you know, pretty much the whole north side of the lake and more, he was talking to me about crest levels. Okay, this is the level at which, you know, the water gets at certain times, and he's quoting me all this stuff and my head's spinning. I'm like, what are you talking about? So he connects me with this historical weather site that shows the crest levels. That's the peak of water. Every day the last few days, it's been going up like crazy. We have a pier dock that normally is about 10 feet below. The water is usually about 10 feet, 8 to 10 feet below our dock this time of year. Right now, the water is about 2 or 3 feet over the top of the dock. But when I looked at record level crests, okay, number one was 1933. What was going on in America in 1933? The Great Depression was getting into full stride. The number two crest, 1894. Most people don't realize 1894 was a tremendous depression. It was the depression that basically convinced everybody to get on board with the Federal Reserve Act 20 years or 18 years later. It was the result of government-issued currency, and so on. Number three was 1929, the crash of 29. You know, and then you go down. Number four, I can't remember the dates, 1918, you know, World War One, where we were favoring the wrong sides, and, you know, on and on it goes. Every single act of nature coincides with the breach of a nation's morality, the spiritual condition of a nation. Well, this year, it's right up there again. There's a lot going on in 2017, folks. This is a big year spiritually. We know about the blood red moons last year, which are warnings, warning signs, you know, of what's to come. This country is embracing Islam. This country is embracing homosexuality. This country is embracing immorality. This country has a 70% divorce rate. Do you know how easy it is to get a divorce in this nation? I mean, there's nothing to it. And I have a relative who's dealing with this, and I'll tell you, the court does not care about morality. They don't care in custody cases if one parent uses drugs. They don't care if they lie, cheat, and steal. They say that has no impact on their ability to parent. They don't care in a divorce case if someone's cheating and lying and stealing. They don't care. What has happened to this nation? What has happened to these people? We have, whether you like it or not, this nation was formed with Judeo-Christian ethics, morals, and precepts at our root, at our core, okay? This is who we are. Like it or not, God blesses a nation based on, you know, the spiritual condition of his people, and he curses a nation based on the spiritual condition of his people. You can go back through the history of Israel and literally see the fertility of the land be stripped away by the sins of the nation, by the sins of the people of Israel, the Israelites, the Jews. It is a fact, folks, and we are heading into troubled waters. And I'm sorry to be talking like this, but you know I'm right. We all thought maybe Trump would be a little bit of a turning point. We didn't think that, I guess, evil just won't rest, will it? And so, first of all, we've got to be on our knees praying. We've got to make our hearts right. We've got to speak the truth. Do not be ashamed of the word. Do not be ashamed of the truth ever. Seek the truth no matter the cost. Do not cast your morals aside for politically correct convenience or social convenience. Stand for what is true and right. You will always benefit. You will always prevail in the grand scheme of things by standing up for what's true and right. You can learn diplomacy. If you're in a workplace that's tough and harsh, don't take it personal. Let them attack you. What's Christ say? Turn the other cheek. Don't go home discouraged and beat up. Don't, you know, just speak the truth in love. Be strong. You know, don't be afraid. Don't let people beat you. I mean, if they do, they do. You can't do anything about it, but I'm saying don't let it get into you. Don't be surprised. Are you surprised that people are immoral and ungodly and hateful and, you know, and they're becoming more so. And I'll tell you, folks, that that is not just a modern day phenomena. People have been dealing with this as long as, you know, Christ has been a factor, and that's been 2,000 years. People have endured some terrible things in the name of Christ. But so you just speak the truth in love, and you have to be, you know, be prepared in season and out of season to give a defense for your faith all the time, always ready, always prepared, and just speak the truth in the most kind, diplomatic way. Everything you say, ask God to help you to say it smoother and cooler with a better spirit, you know, and you never know what word's going to stick with whom. So you never cower. You always say strong, but you don't antagonize, and you speak from a good heart. If you speak from anger or malice, you're going to get, as the Bible says, you're going to reap what you sow. So along those lines, folks, I believe that we are in unique times. I believe that this nation and the world is in a post-9/11 era, okay? I believe, hands down, this is a post-9/11 era. You cannot look at anything that happened economically prior to 9/11 with any relevance whatsoever. That is my belief. And we've got to look at everything from that perspective. We live in a spiritual time. It's exciting. It's interesting. We get to ride a pretty interesting storm. God chooses us for this time for a reason. You think of all the times you could have lived throughout all of history, and God chose you to live in the richest nation in the history of the world, the freest nation in the history of the world, the strongest nation overall in the history of the world, at a time when Judeo-Christianity was at its core. There's a reason why you're here. You know, you're not, most of you listening are not so poverty-stricken that you're sleeping on a dirt floor and eating, you know, soil for dinner. I mean, it's true. And so you have to ask yourself, God chose you at this unique time and place. Why? I don't think people realize that each of us has a destiny. And by that, what I mean is you were equipped with a set of skills, a skill set. And that skill set is designed to best perform at certain tasks. Everyone wasn't put here to be famous or a phenomenal world-level athlete or model or rich race car driver or whatever. You're here to be you. And the worst thing that you can do is try to be somebody else. Because if you're not being you, who's going to be you? You shouldn't be ashamed of who you are. Don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to you and God. God will always bring the best out of you if you use that as your hallmark point. If God's your iconic level of, you know, goal setting, you will always become a better person. You do not look at others. There are people that have better everything than you. But those people have things that are much worse than you too. But we, for some reason, can't see it. Unless perhaps we're narcissists. I don't know. But it's important that we stand strong for truth. It's also important that we don't get caught up in the world. And that applies to what we do here, of course, financially. God gave us a simple system. And I started out the show kind of talking about how it works, you know, I mean, how the financial system works. I want to say something real quick. Two things are on my mind that just hit me. Folks, there's no such thing as free gold or silver. I watch these TV shows where they say, get up to $600 in free silver. It's not free, folks. There's nothing free in life. I've had people call me on this show or at my store to talk to me about some scandal in Uganda where they're sure that they're getting gold, you know, at a third or a quarter of the price, but they just need to wire this money to help them get it out of here and do this and do that. Let me tell you something. Gold is the universal cash. If somebody has $20 million in gold, they just need help getting out of Uganda, They don't need to email a random stranger in the United States of America. They can contact a few people, and a helicopter will fly into the nation and pick them up with their gold. If it's too good to be true, it is. God can do amazing things, but we are required to perform at a certain level. Beware of the mentality. Now, this is going to sound funny at first, but you got to think about it. Beware of the mentality that God controls every single thing that happens. Okay, now think about what I'm saying. God is omnipotent. God has all power. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. But if he controlled every step you took, every decision you made, everywhere you went, everything you did, how in the world could he judge a man? He can't. You have free will. Don't buy into the puppeteer lie. It's a lie. And the reason that's why the Muslim religion, that is the core of their religion. Allah is the great puppet master. Everything they do, everything they think and feel is driven by Allah. So when they feel like blowing up innocent people, that's Allah. And everything, and if they're full of sin and they're bad people, they're being driven and they believe by Allah. The greatest sin in Islam is to doubt or to question. In Christianity, Christ makes people think. He wants you to be a thinking being. He wants you to make conscious decisions that move you closer and closer to him throughout your life. People go through phases and seasons in life. That's part of the reason we're here for a period of time. We go ahead and we accept Christ in our life at some point, but then we go through phases. And one thing I've found, folks, people who walk with God, their lives are much more chaotic from a worldly sense than those who don't, because God says he disciplines his children. The word for discipline is like the military word for boot camp. God never lets up on us. He constantly molds us. And just about the time you think you're done dealing with one issue, here comes another, here comes another, here comes another. Now, if you sit and you keep seeing yourself repeat the same behaviors, if you keep handling your finances irresponsibly, if you keep emotionally erupting, and if you justify your behavior, you know, if you have an emotional disorder per se, where you explode or you do something wrong or you have a victim's mentality and you're comfortable there. And by the way, folks, a victim's mentality is a very comfortable place to be. We go back to our areas we're comfortable. If you find yourself repeating the same thing, or if you continue to see yourself as the victim of everything happening around you, you need to reevaluate your spirit with God and say, Lord, what's going on? What are you trying to teach me? Because none of us are victims. When we are saved, when we're believers, first of all, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Secondly, none of us are victims as believers. Every one of us has a free will and God on our side. But you've got to realize now, once you become a believer, you unite with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there continuously to guide you in all your decision-making and directions. God's there to protect you. He can go before you. He can make a way. But you have to take the steps. And he will. He'll do amazing things. You can have miracles erupting around you. But they're around you. You still make your own decisions. So don't buy that lie. Believe that God empowers you, gives you strength, but you have individual freedom to make the decisions you choose. Decisions to get closer to God, further from God, whatever. Think about that before you send me dirty emails, please, because I get some bizarre responses from some of this stuff. And it's logical, folks. If God controls every stinking thing you do, how could he ever judge you? And you might say, well, that's true for a non-believer, but a believer, he's in control of everything. Not true, folks. Not true. So really ponder that. Another thing I've got to bounce out there. Please hear this word, annuity. Folks,
Annuities are the grand financial scheme. If you buy an annuity, you will never really, you'll never see your money back again. You'll never see all of it. Annuities are a lie. When you think of annuities, they want you to think of the safest, most conservative investment, tax-free, and, you know, you're going to make 7%, and it's all a lie. They don't exist that way. When you buy an annuity, you are stuck and buried. The person who sells an annuity makes a level of commission that would blow your mind, like 30, 35%. That's why when you try to get out, you have these extraordinary, they call them surrender charges or surrender fees. They're terrible. Once you're in, you're never getting out whole. They'll roll it into a new one, and they'll show you these wonderful statements with all these bonuses added in, and but you can't cash out. And the all, and eventually the ultimate goal of every annuity is to get you to annuitize it. What does that mean? That's when they take your money once, one final time, it's never yours again, and they just agree to cut you a check each and every month or year until you die. And in some cases, they'll carry on to a beneficiary and so on. Folks, it doesn't make sense. People will say, oh, I'm getting 5% on my money on an annuitization, which means they're getting, they have $100,000 that's been annuitized. They're getting $5,000 a year, and they say they're getting 5% on their money. No, you're not, because your money's gone. You're getting 5% a year of the money they confiscated that they're probably making 5% on. They're paying you interest on your money until you die, and then the money's gone. They're paying you what anybody else would pay you, and you'd still have the principal. The surrender charges are unbelievable. I just dealt with another guy, 28.5% surrender charge, and it only goes down by 1% a year. Folks, annuities are a train wreck. Annuity salesmen, they will rook you, rob you, drive you hard. Their profits are huge. I had a customer years back, and believe me, I've been licensed in all this stuff. I know it incredibly well. Not to mention the fact that it's pretty rare that you'll ever meet somebody who's got a collegiate education, a Bachelor of Science degree in actuarial science. That means that when I got out of college, my first job, what I did was I calculated all the statistical probabilities for insurance companies of probability of loss, which, you know, probability of profit. I calculated all the numbers so that the insurance company could maintain a certain level of profitability, which typically was about 35%. So they wanted to make sure that after all the claims were settled and all the annuities paid, that they still, in the worst case scenario, made 35% profit. That's the company, not to mention the salesman that makes another 35%. They really operate that way, folks. There are so many non-beneficiary, I won't get into the details, but trust me, if you have an annuity, get out. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting. Call us. You need to convert it to metals. And by the way, if you want to cash out of an annuity, it's going to be the single hardest thing you've ever dealt with financially in your life. It's going to be the hardest job you've ever had to get your money back. It just is. That's wrong. It's your money. We have there's a far better way. God gave us a very clear, concise system of investing. It's hard assets. It's liquid hard assets. You buy them, you park them, you put them away. I told you I was talking to a big real estate money guy the other day. We've got a relationship with probably a very high percentage of the wealthiest people in the Spokane-Coeur d'Alene area who've bought substantial amounts of rare coins and some precious metals, and they keep them secured here in our vaults, the highest rated privately held depository service in a massive region built from the ground up that way. The people with the bucks, they know. The Warren Buffetts we started talking about, they know. They know that hard assets prevail. The real stuff prevails. They don't chase fantasies. They don't chase dreams. You don't invest for greed. You know, you may do great. Something might explode and you'll do great. We've seen runs in the metals that are mind-boggling. But what we want to do is preserve and protect ourselves against inflation. Inflation, you accept inflation as a normal part of life because of our Keynesian economic system, which is designed to confiscate all your money, to destroy your spending power. The problem is wages are not increasing properly with inflation. The wage that a graduating college student makes now, based on the wage that they were making 25 years ago, is nowhere near the lifestyle quality it was then. They're pushing people into poverty. You need to preserve and protect your finances, folks. I'll tell you another thing, short and sweet, as we get to the end of the show. I've mentioned over and over, $20 trillion deficit, $67,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child in America, counting 300 million citizens. One out of five pays tax. That means that's $335,000 in debt for every tax-paying citizen just in the deficit. Our unfunded liabilities push you into the mid-2 millions per taxpayer. Unpayable, unsustainable, impossible. Ultimate eruption, artificial pump-up of the Dow. Total phony, backed by nothing. P&A ratios haven't changed. None of this stuff makes sense. The system cannot sustain this way. We're going to have some other form of financial crisis. We've got $4.1 trillion in consumer debt now. When we had the 08 debacle, we had $2.5 trillion in mortgage debt. We've got 60% more unsecured debt now than we did secured debt then. At least if something's secured by real estate, it's kind of, you know, kind of safe, but not now. I mean, we've got $1.3 trillion of that, or $1.4 trillion now, is in student loans. What's the security there? You take away everything they learned. If you don't pay your student loan, we're going to make you dumber. Well, I guess with recent college degrees, that probably is not possible. But folks, you can't take anything away from them. You can mess up their credit, and now there's 86 million different companies out there that specialize in loaning to people with bad credit. I mean, we have a problem coming. You have a simple, simple solution. I don't care if you got 401ks or IRAs. I don't care what you have. It's simple. We can build you a firm, solid, timeless, biblical, conservatively financial portfolio that will literally preserve and protect your finances in a very wise way. We wholesale to the public. There's no retail. There's no commissions. We don't have any goofy markups like all these people you see on TV or hear on the radio. I assure you. I've had people listen to my show, go buy. I just had a lady come in to cash out a big chunk of her IRA to do a home improvement. Listen to my radio show and went and bought a bunch of stuff from Goldline. I'm like, this is about 5 years ago. I go, what are you doing? Well, blah, 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 you know, and I told her, I said, you realize you paid double for that stuff they charge? Like, yeah, I know. It's like, why? Well, my friend, you know, it's like, folks, be smart. I don't sit on the radio and say this stuff without having the backup for it. I wouldn't sit here and make this up. There's people that say, well, you know, everybody's got their pitch. I mean, folks, if I don't have integrity in what I'm telling you, strike me down. I mean, I'm serious. We have designed a system that is designed to make you the best deal there is. We're wholesaling material to you. I'm not lying. I mean, we make percentages on it, but nothing like these other people. Anybody in business got to make something. And we ride the markets on the inventory and all that too. But I'm telling you, folks, if you want to do the right thing with your finances, give Coins Plus a call. We'll build your portfolio. You don't need to call us and tell us what to do and what you want. That's not a wise approach. Just call, let us talk to you, find out more about your financial situation, what you have, we'll dig in a little deep and get a feel for what you got, and then we'll build a nice portfolio for you. Coins Plus is 444-0044 in Spokane. Outside Spokane, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through our website at coinsplus.com. Remember that Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion." A wise man asks questions. A wise man expresses extraordinary curiosity. We deal with people that, you know, they've got their mega, you know, whatever you want to call it, stubborn brain, stubborn hat on, and we deal with it. But folks, let us help you massage your portfolio. We'll build a beautiful portfolio, exactly the same as I do for myself or my mother or my parent, you know, my family, my friends, my relatives. This is how we'll treat you. If you want to come in and establish your own, we'll deal with that. But I mean, it's we're good at it. We've been doing it a while. We research. We know where value exists. We really do. We believe that there's some tremendous values in the market. Semi-numismatic items in particular. We're just cleaning out the inventory of the vault on a substantial amount of nice quality mercury dimes. I'm getting through those over the next few days. You know, we've always got something unique, but I've been hoarding stuff up myself for decades, and we can provide things that no one else can. I'm a collector investor at heart, and a lot of what people get comes out of my own portfolio. And that's just the way we roll, and we'll just take care of you. So again, you know, Coins Plus 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through the website at coinsplus.com. And through the website, you can also hear all the previously recorded radio shows going back for a long time. We post them up there. You might want to remember the date. The title will usually key off on one part of the show, but I don't have too extensive a title. So, folks, just do the right thing. Be wise. Realize these are troubled times. I was hoping things would get a little better with Trump. They're looking pretty rough. So, you know, be wise. Protect yourself. It's the best time to buy. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. We'll see you Wednesday. Bye-bye.